Hello, another Zoe Nyman. I always say I cannot replace her with high Plotzker, but I'll be giving Shir in instead. We're learning Leilai Nishmas, Chaya Baruch Ben Zalel, Paravas Pinchas, Miriam Leiba Bas Zahra, and Shalem Eliyah. We're learning Refuah Shleima and dominating that the people who are sick should have Refuah Shleima. We're hoping that Hashir is a schus for them. We are learning for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. Last night I spoke about Shimshon, and so what I decided in Parshas Nesa, what I decided to do was switch gears a little bit. And while yet last night I spoke about Nazir, today we're going to be speaking about this particular sefer that I have. It's called Majesty of Man by Rabbi Hemach Leibowitz. I believe Rabbi Hemach Leibowitz was, I forget exactly, I believe he was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim or something to do with the Chofetz Chaim. And there were a number of shiurim he gave many, many years ago, and they took his lectures, I believe, and they wrote it down as in English. And they have Mandarei Torah on many parshiyos, and there's one that's very nice. It's called The Influence of Our Surroundings. So it's generally a style which takes a pasuk, and we talk about the pasuk. The kohen shall stand the woman before Hashem and uncover her hair. We're talking about in the context of sota. The sota. A woman suspected of infidelity to her husband in certain circumstances was brought to the Beit HaMikdash. The Kohen made her drink a special mixture that would be fatal if she was indeed guilty. But first, he uncovered the woman's hair. This is the source of the Torah prohibition against a married woman's hair being uncovered in public. Ksuvah 72, Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezra 21:2. The Mezrich notes that the phrase before Hashem is repeated. The first time it is mentioned is to teach us location for this procedure, the Beit HaMikdash. The second time, the teaches that the Kohen warns her so that she may comprehend the gravity of the situation to remind her that she is standing before Hashem. Presumably, this will induce her to confess her wrongdoings. The Mezrich continues, explaining two more reasons for the second reference. Firstly, the Kohen may question his having to degrade himself and his position with the act of uncovering the hair of this immoral woman. Therefore, the Torah emphasizes before Hashem. Hashem himself commanded us to degrade his holy temple with this detestable scenario. Consequently, the Kohen should not feel debased any more than his master. That means Hashem, meaning it's a very uncomfortable situation. I believe this a similar situation comes up one other time in Chumash. And basically, it's a very uncomfortable situation in those days that to uncover someone's hair was considered a very serious thing, very serious idea. And there was a procedure that Sota, I recall, vaguely recall, talks about it. It wasn't pleasant. Needless to say, it wasn't pleasant. And what he's saying here is that he should remember that he's before Hashem, and even though he might feel a little bit upset, keep in mind that kaviyachol, honestly, not literally. I don't mean this. Hashem is also pained, so to speak, by this. In a figurative sense, in a non-literal sense, by this scenario. Secondly, the process of uncovering this woman's hair may cause the Kohen to have improper thoughts. Therefore, the Torah reminds him that he is before Hashem, and he should concentrate on fear of Hashem as he performs the service without thinking about this woman. How is it possible that a Kohen standing in the Beit HaMikdash itself, having just warned this woman to realize the seriousness of her situation, should require a warning from himself to guard against improper thoughts? The Midrash tells us that this activity was so degrading and disgusting to him that he was loath to perform it. Could a Kohen so revolted by the immorality and debasement of this woman simultaneously fall prey to unchaste thoughts about her? That is, that if he's uncovering her hair, which in those days was considered very serious and more. How is it possible? And he's in the Beit HaMikdash doing this whole procedure. He's the Kohen. He's doing this whole particular thing. It seems that there's a warning towards the Kohen that he should watch himself as to how he behaves. But the question is, why? He's Kohen, the Beit HaMikdash. Is he really so susceptible to a particular Yetzer Hara? Let's see what he says. Taiva. This is the insidious nature of the Yetzirah of Taiva, lust. No one, not even a kohen standing in the Beis HaMikdash, can be sure of himself. Even as he lectures the woman on the gravity of the situation, and even as he's disgusted by the immorality of this person, he may be vulnerable to improper thoughts. Our environment certainly has no shortage of lewdness and immorality. One can hardly walk out the door before he's inundated with a wave of billboards, store windows, and immodestly dressed people. This is being written, said and written many, many years ago, by the way. The media bring pictures and descriptions, rather than advertisements, under the guise of journalism, that undermine our spiritual defenses and appeal to our baser instincts. We should not fool ourselves and think that we are safe and won't be affected. We should not allow our disgust with immorality to provide us with the full sense of security that the Yetzer Hara will not ensnare us. Only constant vigilance to guard ourselves against the pervasive influence of our environment can ensure a life of purity and kedusha holiness. If we try our utmost, we are assured of heavenly assistance in this most difficult challenge. So the answer is basically yes. Yes, the kohen, even standing in the Beis HaMikdash, is susceptible to a particularly negative situation where he might sin, might do the wrong thing. He's saying that, the best example is when people are affected by their environment, what they see on the various billboards, whether it's an advertisement for a product or something else, they are going to be affected. Even if a person wants to see a cheeseburger and they know it's eating a cheeseburger is wrong, but when you see it and it looks so tantalizing on the billboard as you're going by, so you could start to think maybe I should eat a cheeseburger. But even though deep down you know you shouldn't, but if they have a good price and they have they put all the toppings on. Or bacon or whatever it is, you could begin to think, hey, maybe that does sound good. But a person should be very careful not to be influenced by that particular influence around us, whether it's in our communities or in a foreign city or wherever it might be. Our environment affects us. That's the theme of the shiur. Our environment affects us. It could affect us even on a minuscule level. In the next couple minutes, what I figured I'd do is segue into the Ramchal. So Mesilas Yesharim, the Rebbe Leibowitz's Chiddush is a very novel one. It's a very holy one. But there is some precedence before it. That is that there were Rabbanim before him, as you can only imagine, he was influenced by others, and that's totally okay, who discussed this idea. There are many sources, but one of my sources that I like to quote is Ramchal Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim goes through how to go through various stages, and the first stage is what's called Zahiras, watchfulness, watching to make sure we don't do an Avera. And so when he Ramchal goes through these ideas, he also goes through some of the ways of minimizing things that detract from our Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So he discusses a couple things as to what could, let's say a person is trying not to sin, particular matter, he doesn't want to speak Lashon Hara, he doesn't want to, something else, and I'm drawing a blank now. He wants to daven better, but that's really more his reasons than his heroes. He doesn't want to do bad things, and so he tries to do it, but there are certain blockages. And so the Ramchal says that one of the deterrents is what's called evil companionship. The third deterrent to watchfulness is evil companionship. That is the companionship of fools and sinners. As Scripture states, and the friend of fools will be broken, in Mishlei. Very often we see that even after the truth of a man's responsibility for divine service and watchfulness has impressed itself upon a person, he weakens or commits certain trespasses in order not to be mocked by his friends, to be able to mix freely with them. This is the intent of Shlomo's warning. Do not mix with those who make changes. If someone says to you, from Gemara Ksuvos, a man's mind should always be associated with his fellow men. That is, you should be with people. You should be with the environment. Tell him. This refers to people who conduct themselves as human beings, not to people who conduct themselves as animals. That is, only people who lead some sort of decent lifestyle. I say decent lifestyle to include Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach for non-Jews. If a non-Jew keeps the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, so that's the type of person you can hang around. We're not even talking about someone socially, even professionally or whatever. So if they keep somewhat Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, so you could talk to them and have some sort of friendship with that person. Shlomo again warns, withdraw yourself from a fool. And King David said in this connection, happy is the man who did not walk, upon which sages of blessed memory have commented. If he walked, he will eventually stand. If he stood, he will eventually sit. And again, I have not sat with false men. I despise the society of the wicked. What a person must do then is to purify and cleanse himself and keep his feet from the paths of the crowd who are immersed in the foolishness of the time and turn to the precincts of God and his dwelling places. So I figured that was a good positive note to end on. What he's basically saying is you should try very hard to have good companionship, which I think goes very similar to what Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, that our environment, that when you hang around those who aren't behaving properly, whether it's an environment or whether it's those who don't believe in or don't act according to Torah values, then that has an impression upon you. That's what we're saying about the Kohen. The Kohen who has to uncover the woman's hair, and he could be affected. We see the idea that even a minuscule thing could be affected. Even for a little bit, you hang around someone who was a sinner for even just, let's say, a few minutes, has an impression upon you. It could do something to a person. So in the schus of always trying to improve our environment and always trying to be in a good place, may we see good things. Chosim. And I'm wishing everybody bracha, tzachon, and learning. Love Torah, have a wonderful night and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.